Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
This is the Ali LaRouge podcast on the Blood Red channel, bringing you the view from the terraces at Liverpool FC.
Welcome to another episode of Ali LaRouge. I'm joined by regulars John Nicholson, Keith Colvin and Steve Monaghan. Well, what a traumatic few weeks it's been since the World Cup. The only positives in the last couple of games, I'd say, was that we kept clean sheets against Wolves and Chelsea. So, I mean, what has gone wrong? I mean, we've had bad seasons before when we got beaten six times on the run, if anyone forgets that, at home. But, I mean, the team just look mentally exhausted, don't they? I know when people are saying it's a transitional season, but, I mean, is it lack of investment from the owners? Is it, you know, a bad patch? Is it the team's getting old? I mean, what do you reckon, Keith?
Probably a mixture of everything you just said. It's you know. I think at one stage the midfield was getting labelled most of the problems, but the whole team at the moment, you just can't put your finger on it. You know, you're coming out the ground scratching your head thinking, what's going on here? Because it's just not the team that we're used to watching. Even as you just said, then when we've been getting beat in the years gone by, you know, we've gone down with a bit of a fight. At the moment, we're going down with a whimper, aren't we? You know what I mean? So,
yeah,
it's an hard one to sort of put your finger on. You know, I do believe that obviously the manager's doing his best to turn it around. I think the coaching staff are obviously, hopefully, in the background trying to turn it around. I think it's a lot. I think it's a mixture of everything. But I think the biggest thing we're lacking is a bit of a confidence throughout the team, and also a bit of some fresh legs, basically. You know what I mean? I know we're trying to improve that by bringing younger players in. And obviously, some of them have done good for us. You can't deny they haven't. They have done better than the players they've replaced in some respects. So maybe it's just, as you say, transitional period of time where we're trying to replace the old guard, for want of a better phrase. But you can't deny that we still need some quality players bringing in who aren't young kids, but who aren't old but sound staffed, who are in the prime of their career, to replace the players who've done great jobs for us but are on the way out. So that's an easy thing to say. It's an hard thing to fix.
Yeah, I mean, John, I mean, some of the, you know, the players aren't getting any younger, are they? But, I mean, is it down to a case of that, you know, you need fresh light? It doesn't look like the January window. Now, whether that's because the players aren't available that Klopp wants, we don't know. Remember all this a while back when Van Dijk and everyone was going, buy Koulibaly, buy this such and such a player, buy him. And he waited for Van Dijk, didn't he? Because that's the player he wanted. Is it a case of that, do you think, or, I mean?
Well, Klopp never gives any impression that he can't have or get a player that he wants. So he does seem to be happy to wait until it's someone who he believes is the right player and someone that he wants. I think the problems we've got is not just about let's sign another player, hopefully a midfield player. It's deeper than that. I think we played, was it 63 or 64 cup finals last year?
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's a definite factor. I think a few of the players are just absolutely gone because of last season. Yeah. I think also the injuries, particularly to Jota, because Jota missed a lot before he came back and then got injured again. And Diaz, highly significant. Yeah. You know, you've got two quality players there that you've hardly seen all season. And I think then a third factor, I think some of the, and it may be the first reason that I said why they're like this, but some of the more established and experienced players, if you like, including like Mo Salah, just haven't been, I say, consistently enough the whole season. Maybe the reason for that is what I said, number one, the after effects of last season.
Yeah.
So I don't know whether the answer is we just buy midfielder X and it all goes away, because I don't think it does.
No, no.
I think it's deeper than that.
Mono, I can see it on camera. I've seen you scratching your head there. Is that what it's come to? We just don't know what it is. Is it lack of investment? Is it you know, players are getting too old? We need fresh legs. I mean, Klopp's come out and said, hasn't he, that, you know, he doesn't want to play Monopoly football. But that's what the fans are clamouring for, isn't it? They're clamouring for fantasy football. Let's buy this player. Let's buy that. Maybe, you know, let's face it, we all want Jude Bellingham to come, don't we? Or maybe he's just not available now, and no amount of money is going to change Dortmund's mind.
As you say, there, it's a collection of everything. Tiredness, fresh legs are definitely needed. I think, you know, going on years by in the 70s, let's go back to when we were kids going a game, and no matter what we won the league, we won the European Cup, or whatever trophy you won, we always bought someone in the season, you know, in the close season, didn't we?
Yeah, to keep the players, keep
the fresh legs going, keep the squad on top of the game. We said this on numerous occasions about, you know, FSG got out of jail over the years with Klopp for his management, and obviously, you know, we had to buy to sell all the way through this period, more or less. But Klopp's got the absolute best amount of players, you know, that we all could have wished for these last 7 years or so, and all the trophies that we won. Let's not forget, 2 games made last year from winning a quadruple, and it's the same squad. Yeah, only months later.
But then we brought
Nunes in, 60 million, whatever it was, 65 or whatever, you know, and everyone's lit the air on the headpiece. Everyone wants the Marquis sign, everyone wants the Bellingham signing, don't he? Now, I'd love him, you know, because I think he'd be absolutely brilliant for us, and that's what we needed. But it's not just the Bellingham that's going the way we're playing now. Go back to the year, Pete, in the pandemic when, you know, we lost the 6 games.
Yeah.
You know,
Van Dijk was out, wasn't it, basically?
Yeah, well, there was no clamour then, you know. And we can go back to saying, why didn't FSG go and buy centre-half at the time when we were persevering with, you know, Rhys Williams and Nat Phillips?
Yeah.
You know, so it's ongoing, this. It's not as if it just appeared. You know, it's been ongoing then, you know. We thought we'd be all right for strikers recently because we've got about 5 good strikers now. Now, unfortunately, we've got 4 of them injured.
More or less,
you know, and it is, as John just said then. So it's a collection of everything. It's loss of form. You look at Arsenal now. You know, they wanted Arteta out last year.
Yeah.
But they've been winning games, like Man United. Yeah. All of a sudden, the confidence in them because they're winning games. Confidence breeds game after game.
You remember the game at the Emirates? For large periods of the game, we outplayed them totally, didn't we?
Yeah.
Arsenal, you know, you remember that? And, like, I think we should have got at least a draw, you know,
for a dodgy VAR decision against us. You know, it would have been a different story, but, you know, we get them for and against, so, you know, just by the by in it, really. But to put your finger on it, we really don't know. As you just said there, you come out the game going, well, I'm there, you know.
Even though we got
the win at Wolves, I thought we battled really hard. We pressed good, like in the past, more or less in the first half. I think it was when we made the subs in the second half where we sort of went back into the bit of defensive mode again. You know, Wolves come at us a bit.
Yeah.
But we got the win.
We certainly, against Wolves, we certainly rode our luck, but we went through, didn't we? You know, but... Yeah. We rode our luck. The last 10 minutes, they did pile on the pressure. Like, but it was great to see Bacicek, you know, playing and doing so well. And he got the start against Chelsea. So it means, you know, Klopp is like, you know, he's putting faith in the youngsters. But, I mean, Keith, is it a crisis? I mean, we lost those 2 games, Brentford and Brighton. But if we'd won them, there wouldn't be this clamour, would there now? There wouldn't be what's going on the internet.
I think the crisis is just, some people may say, I certainly think it's a strong word, some people may say it's not. It is the defeat, but it's the manner of the defeat's won it, let's be honest about it.
Yeah.
But in Brentford's case, if that one from Nunes would have gone in, which it that Ben May on the line. Who knows what the game would have been. Brighton was a bit of a different story. We didn't get going against Brighton at all.
No.
So I think it's the manner of the way we've been getting beat rather than as much as the defeat itself, because we're just sort of going out with the damp squid, aren't we? So,
yeah.
But, you know, in the end, the players, I would suggest, are doing the best, but for some reason, it's just not clicking with them. You know, we're not. We seem to concede the first goal too often, and then the Reds go down, and they can't seem to battle back into games. Teams are doing to us what we used to do to other teams. They're out battling us. They're out, you know, they're putting us under pressure on our own half, and we can't cope with it. But, you know, we're losing the ball, you know, high up outside our box, which is what we used to do to other teams. A lot of teams are playing the way Liverpool played when we were on the club, when we won our last trophy. You know, it's not hard to do that, I suppose. You've got to get a load of fit players in some respect, but good players, and organise them to play the way you want them to. But we just can't seem to, we can't seem to outfight teams at the moment, which is a bit of a worrying thing in that respect. And the younger players coming in, certainly against Wolves, the Batichetta, and, you know, he had a very good game last year, and he deserved his place against Chelsea. He was a much better
I don't think any of us have mastered the pronunciation yet.
No, yeah.
Just call him Badge.
But he, you know, he's a better bet than in my opinion, than Keita at this stage.
Yeah.
Keita shouldn't be playing for us, ahead of him anyway. If that's that's the choice he's making, the kid should get a game ahead of Keita, in my opinion, because he's a better bet, all-round player at the moment. So these are the conundrums that Klopp's got to sort of work out, Annie. Because Harvey Elliott, again, the poor kid, gets slaughtered sometimes. He scores a great goal against Wolves, puts his heart and soul into the game. You know what I mean? And he's only a young kid. You've got to give the lad a chance. But unfortunately, in this day and age, through the internet and everything else, these kids get slaughtered and it's bang out of order. You've got to get behind them, get them, back them, and you'll see the best of them. You'll see more of them now.
John, is it just looking like at the moment that we're just lacking pace and you know, it could be a mental thing, doesn't it? But it looks like Fabinho, he looks like his twin brother who's never played football before, doesn't he? I mean, you know, he looks like he's running in treacle, doesn't it? You know.
Yeah, he may be one of those who's got the hangover more than a couple of others, you know, from last season.
Yeah, he's never really recovered. It was Aston Villa, wasn't it? He never really recovered properly since then, has he? But if you remember him in his debut against Arsenal a few years ago, whatever you want to say, he's not a Liverpool player, he's too slow. Well, he's back to looking like that again, isn't he?
He is a bit, yeah. But I think there's probably a bit of just a lack of confidence as well with him sometimes. They're still trying to play out from the back, like on Saturday, and Chelsea were really onto us, you know, pushing right up. And though we're still trying to do it, we weren't quite quick enough.
Yeah.
And at times it was a bit of a desperate clearance from Alisson.
Yeah.
Well, the fluidity seems to have got. I mean, you look at the way Arsenal plays, and it's a lot of it's 1-2 touch football, like Liverpool used to do. But that seems to have gone, doesn't it? And that is down. A lot of it is down to confidence, isn't it? And I think people not wanting to make a mistake because of, you know, the repercussions of that, you know.
Yeah, of course. But, you know, we go back to the Wolves game, that first half. I thought we played very well. You know, we were closing down. And listen, you know, as Keith just said there about Elliot, you know, remember last season when he started all the first 10 games, was it, whatever it was, before he gets injured, you know, against Leeds. And honest to God, he was like man of the match every game. He was brilliant. Yeah. And since he's come back, he hasn't hit the ice. So, as Keith said, you know, everyone's ready to condemn a player after a couple of bad games. But it's unfortunate that it's a collective now. Look at the pace we got. Nunes, the pace out of him, Salah, you know, Trent, when running down the wing. We've got a lot of pace. So it's just, I really can't put my finger on it, honestly, God. We are literally scratching our heads going, what's going wrong with our team here?
Yeah.
You know, and like, I think Klopp said, you know, when he comes back from Dubai, you know, he said, you know, the lads are there and to go, we're all, you know, ready, second half of the season, more or less, after the World Cup. But we haven't hit it yet, have we? And every game, you know, we think this will be the one. Like we did at Brighton during the week, you know, we were fortunate, we thought it was a penalty, but Alisson brought the striker down, but Vieira wasn't. But we said at half time, we went down for a pint, and we said, got out of jail there, really, because we thought it was a pen at first. We'll win this now. We'll come back and say, and we just could not get gone. Next minute, Matic gives the ball away. 2-0, game over. Lo and behold, an old timer as a Lallana is running rings down us in midfield.
I know, yeah, it was unbelievable.
You know, so it's, you know, we can mourn about, like, you know, when Lallana was here at times, you know, he used to get sticky because he wasn't quick enough. But you can still turn it on at an age, you know what I mean? But you need the whole team to play. You can have one or two players who are having a one-off days, but you can't have a collective of the majority of the team. And that's what's happening almost every game.
Allez les Rouges on the Blood Red Channel.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I mean, Keith, in terms of, you know, the Chelsea game, you know, I mean, we were all staying, weren't we, at half time? We were lucky, you know, to not concede there, you know. But, I mean, Chelsea and another team, like, they've spent lots of money, haven't they? But they don't seem to be clicking right, you know, and they don't seem to be. So, but, I mean, to get that result, the only positive we could take from that after we were in the pub afterwards was at least we kept a clean sheet. That's the only positive we could take out of it, wasn't it? Because apart from that, you know, we just looked like a team dead on our legs, didn't we?
Yeah, it was a disjointed display. You know, and I know you can't blame it, like, but that to me was just a typical 12:30 kickoff on a Saturday afternoon. The flat, the atmosphere was dead again inside the ground.
Funny you should say that, because I'm interviewing, at the end of the show, we're interviewing a Boston Globe journalist called Michael Silverman, because he was over last week for the Boston Globe to look at, you know, to interview a few people. And he said the one thing I took from the match against Chelsea was what a brilliant atmosphere it was. And I said, what? And he said, oh, well, I've got nothing to compare it to, but that was like a playoff game in baseball or something. It was brilliant. Just shows you what it's at the standards we've set. That's what it is, isn't it?
He mustn't be able to understand what the Chelsea fans were singing at it then, must he? That's another story. But, you know, again, people are quick to judge and jump on people's backs when they make a few mistakes. And that, you know, but you tend to get that. I do feel these R12 kickoffs are very, you know, detrimental to trying to get a game of football going, to be totally honest with you. But you're right, you know, the most important thing out of that game on Saturday was that we didn't get beaten, we kept the clean sheet, because it was a very disjointed display. You know, it was a hard watch, wasn't it? Let's be honest about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean, from start to finish. You know, we had a few fleeting moments where we could have scored, but predominantly, you know, they had probably the better chance, but they did have the better chances. They brought that lad on, Mitra, whatever his name was, the lad he just brought in. You know, we skipped through us a few times.
Muzic, yeah. He looked brilliant, didn't he?
Yeah, you know, we skipped through a few times. He should have scored, actually. You know what I mean? You couldn't really see it from where he had in the cup, but when you see it later on the telly, he skipped around a few players and he should have really scored, actually. But he had to side netting. They brought a load of players in. They spent, I seen something somewhere, I might be wrong, that new owner spent more money since he's been there than Klopp spent in the whole time he's been at Liverpool. Yeah. That's correct. So that just tells its own story about where we are as a club, and we're battling with these type of clubs to try and keep challenging them. So it's hard to do, isn't it? We keep doing it. You know, Klopp's pulled that many rabbits out the hat, hasn't he, over the years with signings that he's brought in. You know, he hasn't. You know, you could argue Pate's probably been his worst bite because he's not done what he thought we would do. But predominantly everybody else has been brilliant. So can he keep doing that under this current ownership with what he's got? Hopefully he can do, you know what I mean? Because he's staying to rebuild the team, and he's got to be given a chance to do it, and the fans have got to get behind him while he's doing it.
John, he did say recently with an interview on BT Sports that you know, we signed a new contract in last April, so we could be here to rebuild the team. So that's, you know, that's what he was saying. So, But he was also saying, but to do that, he can't do it overnight. And I think Chelsea have proved that by splashing the money, you know, and they're not a team yet, are they? But is it a case of it's a transitional season and we've just got to accept that? Or is it a case of, you know, no, that's negligence from the owners and they should have given him a load of money in last summer, you know?
No, because I think if you think back to, it was July sometime, Klopp said, he spoke about his midfield and he named eight of them. And I know Oxlade-Chamberlain's in there and Milner and what have you. But Klopp said, I'm happy with the midfield that I've got. Yeah. At that time, I think, I wasn't sure whether the Tsushimai had gone already.
Yeah.
Maybe exactly. It had. But he said, so either Klopp's not speaking the truth when he says these things, or he is happy. And this, how did you describe it? Transition. Maybe it's come just a little bit quicker than he expected. Because, yeah, maybe he thought, I've signed a long-term contract because I'm going to rebuild. But maybe he just didn't expect it to come so soon the midfield that he's got available to him. Because if he did expect it to come soon, he certainly wasn't suggesting that in July-ish, I think, end of July, when he said, I'm happy with the midfield core that I've got, with the selection that I've got. I'm happy.
Yeah, Mono?
Didn't he say at the time, I've got 7 or 8 midfielders? Remember
correct. It's probably the same statement that you're referring to.
Yeah,
he said he was happy with what he's got.
Yeah,
but even we said at the time, we add someone to it. You know, add get a bit more quality.
Because we knew
the injuries that we can get any football team can get.
You're right. We did, but he didn't. And he's the manager. Ooh. And just what I said 5 minutes ago, he's never actually sort of said, has he? I'm not happy that I'm not being allowed to get what I want. He's never ever said that.
He's never said that. No.
So
I mean, you know, he's either being diplomatic,
or very, very good.
He's thinking these are the two ones I want in the summer. Not available to the summer, but I'm waiting for them. You know, but we don't know, do we? It's all speculation. Keith.
Yeah, you know, obviously when he's said that in July, he's on the back of nearly winning 4 trophies.
Yeah.
He's obviously looking at it in that respect, saying, you know, we kick on again. But I don't think, I've not heard Klopp blame the fact, not that I might be wrong, the fact that we nearly won 4 trophies and they've been, you know, physically and mentally exhausted because of that effort. It's had an adverse effect on the start of the season. I've not heard him say that. Not that I haven't. I'm not saying he hasn't, but I haven't heard that. Now, if he either thinks it and is not saying it because he doesn't want it to affect the players, or he's just being caught out by surprise by like everybody else. Because, as you say, if he says in July, just after we nearly won four trophies, I'm happy with him in midfield. It's on the back of what we've done that year. And he probably thinks we're going to do the same again. So, you know, a lot of things have transpired to sort of work against us in some respects. We've had injuries to key players, as John alluded to. And we've had loss of form and loss of confidence. So, it is a perfect storm for us. And I just think you never like to see us off. You know, even when we lost them 6 games in the bounce, you know, in the lockdown, we come back with a fight and got into the Champions League, didn't we? Right at the end of the season. So you never like to season off with them, but you shouldn't have to. You should never do it.
No, but we're halfway through, aren't we? We're 19 games, aren't we?
Yeah, but again, you know, I know we'll probably go on to this in a minute, and you know my feelings on it. Like, but we've got to stop listening to the moaners and get behind the team, because people are moaning for the sake of moaning. You don't, half of them, to me, in my opinion, don't know what the moaning about half the time. You just want to moan because everyone else is doing it. And it just gets lost in the noise. You've got to trust the manager to do his job. And hopefully the owners are backing.
What are you saying? Unless Klopp comes out and says, look, I'm not getting what I want. You know, FSG out, people on the internet, you can't really go with that, because it was only when Benitez started feeding journalists stories about the debt on the club, wasn't it, that all the process started. But what you're saying is, if Klopp's happy and he's here for the long term, and it's going to be a transitional period, and he's going to rebuild the team, are you happy with that?
Just say Jürgen Klopp said 6 months ago at the end of the season when we nearly won four cups, you know, unprecedented. Listen, fans, we've had a great season here, but you know, next season we're probably going to struggle a little bit because we're going to be in a transitional period. But trust me, I know what I'm doing. What do you think most people would have said? Yeah, okay, yeah, we'll go with that.
Get on with it.
Yeah, because most people are going to match, yeah, because he accepts it because he knows what he's doing.
But you know, the transition,
he knows what he's doing.
Keith, do you know, like what we're going through now, you know, we said it at the end of the game in Brighton the other week. Was this our Barry Endy moment in the FA Cup when we got knocked out? And that's when Shankly knew he had to change the team.
Yeah.
And again in 73, when Restar Belgravy, we've got to change our style of play.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not saying Klopp's going to change his style of play, but what I'm saying, he had to change, he had to rebuild twice after the 60s. So if Klopp's got to build, it's this transitional season coming. Obviously, he's got to go and buy players again, hasn't he? You know, or do they come in over a period of, you know, this season and next season? But where does that take us then?
But also, you've got to get the players who are injured. As John said before, we've got some key players injured.
Yeah,
if you get them back, yeah, and fit, that is
the four strikers, Keith. Yeah,
it's a massive boost for the
team.
I agree.
Yeah, so, and that, sorry,
mate. Go on.
Yeah, so that brings it all to what we said about our playing as a team with a lack of confidence because of what's going through. Listen, what's going on social media? The club find out it all. You know, they're all not daft. They all hear it. They all see what's going on, and it does affect them. You know, we only go see what's happening over the park, you know, the other team in the city, the way it's affecting,
Do you think, though, if we'd have got results against Brentford and Brighton, do you think there'd still be this outrage on the internet, like?
Well, there was no outrage last season when we, you know, we've always had the FSD House people. And listen, everyone's got their own minds to it, whatever.
Yeah, of course.
It's no problem that way. PZF, we keep saying two games away from winning four trophies last year. Was there any outrage then, really? You know, as the way it is now, it isn't. You know, we are unfortunate. We're not playing well. And by the way, this is the way football is. You know, we've been following that club for over 50 years, so we've been here and done it all. So we know what it's like to not to win and not to win trophies and to play bad and to feel bad at the end of every week. You know, but we've all had good times as well. So this is where, as a collective, you just got to trust the manager and
stick together.
Well, you know, let's be honest. Have FSD ever said they're for sale, or do you want investments?
Yeah.
So if they are for sale, whoever comes in, whatever it is, but it's we don't want another Ixchin Gillette, do we?
No.
Because this is why FSD come in, because when we got rid of Ixchin Gillette. So whoever does come in, it's got to be in the right manner for, you know.
And that was a terrible period because you felt physically sick sometimes, didn't you? When, you know, the home crowd were turning against the protesters. Now you can't find anyone who didn't protest against Ixchin Gillette. It's one of them, isn't it? It's all about perspective, isn't it? And John, though, on Sunday against Brighton, we've got to win that game, then, haven't we? You know, it's one of our only chances, isn't it, of silverware, you know?
Yeah, it's absolutely vital. And I would hope that as it'll only be 2 weeks or whatever since we were well beaten at Brighton. And there's a few, you know, little things said by the Brighton players in the press after the game.
Yeah.
About how easy we were, blah, blah, blah. That our players will have whatever 11 go out on Sunday, will have a totally different attitude and a determination to put it right and win the game.
Allez les Rouges on the Blood Red Channel.
Yeah, I mean, Keith, in terms of that game, it's a massive game now, isn't it? It's an absolutely massive game. Whereas in the past, Klopp hasn't really treated the FA Cup. He did last year, but the FA Cup hasn't been a priority, but I think now it's become, you know, a pivotal game, hasn't it, for the season?
Yeah, you know, and Jürgen Klopp says the next game is the most important game in every game we play, but as you say, his past record will tell you that the FA Cup and the League Cup doesn't really come under the way that happens sometimes, but next Sunday is, you know, every game is a must-win game. We say this every week for Liverpool. But as much as we want to win, we want to see a good performance as well, don't we? You know, I'm certainly not saying we want to get beat, but the performance has got to match the results in some respects, hasn't it? You know, we can get back to winning ways with a good performance. Great. Obviously, if we can't and we get through, great again. I'm no problem with that. I still want to get through. But if we can reproduce some of our better form, even a fraction of it, we'll be a much better side anyway. But I do think, and it sounds a bit silly, it'll depend on who he picks. You know what I mean? You know, there's certain players in the team who slow us down, and certain players who come in, quicken the pace up and make us a better team for it. So that's the manager's choice now, and he should know that more than anybody. But yeah, we got to win next Sunday, as simple as that.
Yeah. John, in terms of the whole, I mean, I'm talking to Michael Silverman from the Boston Globe after the podcast. And he was sort of like saying that he felt that, you know, FSG wanted investment rather than that's the word on the street in Boston. And he's the sports correspondent for the Boston Globe. So he's saying, as far as he's aware, it's that they want investment. Well, a lot of people are going to be unhappy at that, aren't they? Because they want to see them gone, don't they?
I suppose a lot of people do. If all you do in your life is look at Twitter, but why would you want to take a? You know, most people on Twitter are called LFC Fred or whatever. You don't even know who they are. They might be a 12-year-old, or they might be a Man United fan just winding people up. If people have got real opinions like that on Twitter, why don't they go on there under the proper name and tell us where they're from?
Why
take any notice of
it's a good point because there is one which called for a protest before the Chelsea game called Cop Connection, and I invited them on last week for the podcast. It didn't happen anyway because there was a bereavement and we couldn't do the podcast, but I invited them on and they refused, and they said no, we'll come on when Qatar buys Liverpool. You know, so just totally anonymous and won't even come on a platform where you can speak to them because
So just ignore them.
Well, no one turned up to the protest, did they? You know, I'm not saying match going fans aren't angry, because some of them really are, and there's no doubt about that whatsoever. But it's a difference between being angry about the future of your club, if you're going to get top four, or the existence of your club. I think that's the difference. When all the protests were happening in 2008, 2009, is about the very existence of the club, wasn't it?
Absolutely. If Vixen Gillette stayed, the club would be finished now. The club would be dead.
Yeah.
Maybe at best Division 3, if not totally wound up. I don't see how people can't get that, what Vixen Gillette were going to do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, no one at the time. There was only Mono at the time. The most we ever had on process was 5,000, wasn't it? So, you know, that was like a tenth of the ground, wasn't it? Stay behind, maybe, you know. So that was, you know, 1 in 10, 10%. 90% were probably, I'm not interested in that. They never change anything in that, you know.
Yeah, listen, we had mates, you know, who didn't believe. I could never believe it, really, because, listen, you know, we're no financial experts or whatever. We're no bankers. But we could see what was going on. And I couldn't believe that other fans, like-minded fans, maybe just wanted to stop moaning. It'll be all right. That was always the thing. But yeah, it'll be all right. But no, it wouldn't be all right. It's not going to be all right. If we don't do something, we're going under. We are. We're not going to exist. And then, you know, we all, obviously, everyone got behind it eventually. You know, I think the biggest one, I think it was 10,000, Peter, to be honest with me. Yeah. March from the supporters club up to the ground.
I'm talking about in the ground process that time.
Yeah, well, you know, even, you know, the 77 call outs, you know.
That was massive.
You know, that when against FSG, was it? That was 10, you know, 10, 15,000. That's when, you know, obviously when all fan groups, you know, the Spine Cop, the SOS, everyone, and got all together with it. You know what it was?
Yeah.
That was fans being united, you know, and that's the way it should be. You're right, you know, they've set it up for sale, all the investments. Now, do you know they can't compete with City and Newcastle coming up now. And look at what Chelsea, Keith, you said before, we know that they spent in the last like 6 months, well, Klopp spent in 7 years, whatever. So if it means investing, so someone's got to give them £500 million to go and invest in a team to get this transitional period going, more or less over sustained couple of years. You know, one player now, you know, FSG bought Liverpool for £300 million. You know, we've had this before on here, haven't we?
Yeah.
Well, one player or more or less going to cost us £120 million plus his wages. So work that one out. You know what I mean? So they know it's not financially viable for them. That's why they want to sell, probably. So, but if someone comes in with £3 or 4 billion for them, they've made one hell of a profit on it. So if someone comes in with that kind of money, well, obviously they're going to spend, aren't they? You know,
yeah.
You know, they're not going to give you that money for nothing. Where and start buying players for £25 million or whatever. Or, you know, with all due respect to players, that but you know, if they're good enough, whatever. So I really don't know really who they could sell to, whether you know, it's Asia or you know, one of the Arabic countries or you know, another American company. We don't know.
The thing is, nobody knows. It's all speculation, isn't it? And people are always, I'm in the know, and a lot of them are fake websites. You know, the fake website, Liverpool websites, but put out fake news. And, you know, people believe them, but we all know that they don't exist or it's just someone having a laugh. I mean, you're lucky, Keith. You don't see it. You don't see it because you're not on Twitter.
You know, that's my choice, isn't it? But I hear enough about what's going on, and I've said this a million times to Mona. We have loads of conversations about this. Is that me personally, I don't go on it because I think it's probably the worst thing in the world.
Unsociable media.
That's my own opinion about that, and obviously that's for a different time, a different story. But as John said before, they're all faceless people taking a notion. But I know it's easier said than done taking a notion. I get that. Because obviously some of the people who do give some stick out are people who go to the match, and they're quite entitled to their opinions. I'm not saying they're not, but be constructive in what you're saying, in my opinion. Once FSG come into Liverpool, it didn't take long for them to everyone to understand the way their business model worked. And their business model worked for them to a T. They got great success on the shoestring, basically.
Yeah.
And increased the price of the club tenfold, probably, right?
Yeah.
Everyone knew they were going to do that. It wasn't hard to see it. They were always going to use Liverpool to finance themselves, really. Liverpool are self-financed in some respects. They've hardly used any of their own money. And what they have used, they've got back through different ways. I.e., when they built the stand, they got it back through different ways. It's not cost them a great deal of money if it's cost them anything. Liverpool are self-sufficient. You know, you meet that fella from the Boston Globe later. No, we had a conversation when Nixon GLS were in charge. Yeah. Or just after Nixon GLS taking over with the fella from the Newsweek, I think, in New York. Not in New York, in Liverpool. And I said it at the time to him. Liverpool will be self-sufficient once we get rid of our debt. Like, I know Man United fans in work, they're the same opinion. They know that once the Glazers go, they get rid of the debt, they'll be self-sufficient because we're massive clubs. We produce our own money.
Yeah.
So in the end, FSG knew that. They weren't taking the risk at all buying Liverpool. They knew what they were getting. As long as you can make them successful on the pitch, they knew that they would get their money back tenfold. And that's what's happened. So fans shouldn't be really disappointed and you know, saying, well, what's this, what that? They knew exactly what we were getting when he got these owners. Whether they're nice owners or not is a different matter altogether. But don't start crying and moaning now because we've had one bad season, really, in the time they've been there. And trust the manager and let him get his job done. And I'm sure at some stage, the club aren't stupid enough. They're going to hang around. They're going to back him at some stage.
You've
got to. Because once if Jürgen Klopp kicks off, then they're in trouble then.
Yeah.
At the moment, he hasn't done
it. Well, I think that's the case, isn't it? If Jürgen Klopp came out with a statement, you know, all bets are off, aren't they? There would be chaos. And, you know, we don't want to get back to that. People arguing on the ground and arguing in the pubs and people falling out with each other and that. But, John, do you think it's inevitable, though? You know, the way sports are going, you know, you see, you know, boxing matches going to the Middle East and, you know, clubs being bought by states. Do you think it's inevitable that's the way? Because, obviously, with oil running out, a lot of these countries are looking for tourism and sports to for the future, aren't they? Do you think it's inevitable?
Possibly. You know, I think one thing about if the European Super League had come, we'd have been playing home matches in Qatar or New York or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, that was part of that plan. Maybe this is part of their thinking as well. Maybe they might just be happy that every summer that's where Liverpool are going to go for pre-season training and play all their friendlies in Qatar in the future if it was a Qatar owner.
Yeah.
You know, that's got to be part of their plan. You know, that's partly why they've done the World Cup and what have you. But, you know, but just to echo what Keith was saying there, FSG set out their model from the start, how they were going to run the club. Mm. And what failed was not FSG. What failed was UEFA in particular. And to a lesser extent, our Premier League, but not much lesser extent, not being able to enforce the FFP rules that they put in place.
I know, yeah. As if Man City...
That's what took FSG out.
Yeah, as if Man City earned more than Real Madrid. You know?
Exactly.
It's an absolute joke, that, isn't it? That's just creative accounting, isn't it?
Maybe a lot of the anger from LFC Fred on Twitter shouldn't be directed at FSG, but directed at UEFA.
Why?
They're allowing Man City to kid the world with the way that they run as a club. And for Chelsea to give eight-year contracts to players just so they can say, it's not an £80 million fee, it's an £8 million fee.
Yeah.
Because that's how they're doing it.
Yeah. It'd be good if we could get talking back to football, wouldn't it, Mono? But it looks like this is going to run and run, isn't it? This will go on into the summer one. And we you know, over the years, last few years, we ran out of superlatives to talk about, is this the greatest Liverpool team we've ever seen? And now we're arguing about finances again. It's absolutely doing me head in, you know.
It's bringing a load of negativities to it, you know, to everything, to go on a match. Well, I feel, you know, yeah, last week when we went to Brighton the week, you know, it was all out then and wasn't much on the coach. Everyone's just talking about it. It's, you know, but when you go back to your social media, it's around the bend.
It's an absolute swamp, isn't it?
We said, look, you know, we all know that FSG can't compete at this moment in time with the City and Chelsea, right? United keep spending as well, by the way. Look at their owners.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and they just keep spending, don't they? We've signed two players in, you know, Gakpo and Nunes. But we know we need to improve. You know, Klopp needs to improve. Said before, you know, it's our rebuilding time now. You know, we've had an amazing run with this team. A couple of more players in to bring it on. That's what we should have done over these past couple of years. Keep it all fresh. But they haven't, you know, done it to the extent of doing it every season. You know, when
but at the end of the day, Mono, unless Klopp comes out and says that, we get that piece.
We've got to
back Klopp, haven't we?
Yeah, we've got to trust in him. Yeah. But going back to your question, is that it's not going away? It's not going away until either FSG sell or they get this massive investment. Well, and it gives Klopp a war chest to go compete with these other three or four teams that that challenge. Well, now it's eight teams that challenges at the moment.
Yeah. Well, you've been listening to Alain Rouge. We're going to hear from Michael Silverman now, the Boston Globe correspondent. I interviewed him to see what his thoughts are. Thanks to Mono, Keith Coven and John Nicholson. And hopefully we'll be back in a couple of weeks' time. And hopefully we'll have a few results under our belt and we'll be talking about football again. Thanks very much. Keep on listening to all the Blood Red podcasts. Thank you. Allez les Rouges.
Allez les Rouges on the Blood Red Channel.
Hello, this is Allez les Rouges for the Liverpool Echo, and I'm delighted to be speaking to Michael Silverman from the Boston Globe, the sports reporter for the Boston Globe. And Michael, you came over last week to Liverpool, didn't you? Was that on that's a fact-finding right. mission to see how the fans felt about FSG, or was it a holiday?
Not a holiday, although I wish I had more time to spend there. It was for work. It's a story about the club. We can definitely say that. Yeah, hasn't come out yet. I haven't written it yet.
Right. Okay. Because I believe I was talking to someone from Sports Illustrated recently, mm-hmm. Jason Schwartz, who used to be a journalist at the Boston Globe, not the Globe, the Boston Magazine. And mm-hmm. he said he was a Red Sox fan. He said they're very disgruntled in Red Sox fan quarters about the way the club's gone.
Mm-hmm. That's quite true these days, even though they did recently sign one of the younger star players to a massive $300+ million, multi-year contract, more than a decade, which is a pretty big investment, the biggest the team has ever made. However, the team finished in last place last year. And,
right. Okay.
How do you please sports fans? It's not so easy. So there's plenty of disgruntlement.
They let two of the star players go as well. Is that part of the problem, was it?
Yeah. I mean, I think unlike Liverpool, the Red Sox seasons, they've won four World Series under Fenway Sports Group, but they've also experienced very low lows. They tend to go up and down. It's a real roller coaster. They finish in last place or they finish in first. At least Liverpool, I think, they're never in danger of being relegated, of course, but a bad season for them is perhaps, middle of the pack, I guess. They don't have the wild swings that the Red Sox have had, which is frustrating for fans, I think.
There's a lot of fans now in Liverpool thinking that, the lack of investment in the squad is damaging the club. And, we nearly won four trophies last year, which was unprecedented, never been done before, played in every game. But this season, as you say, we've been struggling a bit. And people are saying that's because they haven't invested, haven't put money into the team and helped Klopp. What do people in at the Boston Globe, do they think FSG have put Liverpool off for sale? But do you think they're trying to sell the club or they're looking for investment? What's the general impression in Boston?
I think, we go by what we hear and occasionally what we hear right here. As of today, as we speak, the latest information I have, and certainly there could be talks going on as we speak that we don't know about and we won't know about for some time. We never know, or it could be completely quiet. But the latest is that they're more interested in selling. They want to retain full control, but they need or recognize they want new investors. To compete with the likes of, we're all well aware of what, Man City has
going forward,
right? And
Newcastle, that'll probably disappoint a lot of fans because everyone was thinking it's up for sale and there'll be new owners and they'll be able to compete with City and Newcastle. But there's also been talk about they bought the Penguins in 2021, did they? And now they're looking for maybe a franchise for a basketball team in Las Vegas and also the Washington Commanders, the NFL team. Are they all wish lists?
I think definitely they're waiting for the NBA to announce expansion teams. And obviously with LeBron James on board, perhaps that announcement's not imminent, just as LeBron's retirement is not imminent, but both have to happen. LeBron, the rules are an active player cannot own a team, but it's been not a very successfully kept secret. It's not a secret. They have said they are interested in an NBA expansion team. So yes, that's on the boards. The current NFL rules preclude them from owning an NFL team because they have too much private equity behind Fenway Sports Group. So until and unless those rules change, Fenway Sports Group cannot buy an NFL team. If John Henry and other partners were to put together a private bid, they could certainly do that. But I think the preference there perhaps is more for the rules to change before going to private attack. And frankly, the word on the street is that Jeff Bezos, owner of Amazon, kind of has the inside track there, though there's a complication there because he owns the Washington Post, which the current owner, Daniel Snyder, doesn't like. But that's really getting into inside football stuff. I don't know.
Yeah,
American football, that is.
I mean, there's been a lot of speculation in the, especially in Liverpool and on social media, that they FSG need to sell Liverpool to be able to invest in these other ventures. Do you think that is the case, or is it?
No, I mean, from what I've been hearing, no, it's not. This is no. Look, I could be proven wrong, like I said, tonight or in the coming weeks and months, but I've been told that they're not connected. So, which, you know, if they do wind up selling completely and fully, which, you know, right now I think is perhaps not the outcome that they're looking for, it'll go for a ton of money, won't it? And that can only help their bids in that department, but I don't think that that's at the moment what they're looking at.
Yeah. I mean, Tom Werner recently said people should know that it's not only our brains we're trying to fix the last place finish, but our heart is with the fans. And also John Henry said we have a desire to win many more World Series here. As long as we're healthy, we're going to be hopefully improving the stewardship of the Red Sox. They don't come out with statements like that about Liverpool Football Club, do they? Is that because they've had a lot of... I mean, John Henry was booed, wasn't he, recently in Boston? Is that...
Yeah, he went to a fan event in Western Massachusetts, about an hour and a half drive outside of Boston. Yeah. And yeah, he was booed, as was the chief baseball operations guy, Chaim Bloom. You know, fans are disgruntled, and they heard plenty of boos. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but perhaps the last time John Henry spoke about Liverpool was his apology after the Super League. I'm not sure if he's had made any comments since then.
No. I can't recall any comments, you know. But in terms of, you know, obviously, how is it viewed in Boston that they still own Liverpool? Is it regarded as they're taking, you know, their emphasis is on Liverpool, or it's on the Red Sox? I mean, it must be pretty difficult to for PR in that response, wasn't it? In that regard, you know, because a lot of people are saying they're not interested in Liverpool. Liverpool fans, I don't know if you found this last week, but there's a lot of disgruntled people saying, you know, we should be buying this player for 100 million or this player. Look at Chelsea, look at Man City, look at Newcastle. But Klopp, Jürgen Klopp has actually said he signed the deal, the new deal to be carry on being manager, the extension, because he wants, it's a transitional period when he wants to build a new team. I mean, what do you think the feelings are? I mean, do you get any gut feeling that FSG want to build a new team, or is it, you know, if they got a good offer? It's like anything for sale, isn't it? If the offer's right.
Yeah. Well, first, I mean, going back to what you asked about, I don't think Red Sox fans care a great deal about Liverpool. I don't know if there's, you know, and I don't think Liverpool fans necessarily care about Red Sox. They just want the owner's undivided attention, right? That's a balancing act that a company like, you know, a sports conglomerate like Fenway Sports Group, as they get bigger, that's up to them to manage and how they're going to assuage fans and let them know that they have their full attention. You know, based on recent comments from Tom Werner and John Henry, they are fully focused on the Red Sox. But by not saying that to Liverpool doesn't mean they don't have the undivided attention too, but you have the complicated factor that they've put the club up for sale, a fuller price.
Well, but
much
that was
complicated
That was a leak, wasn't it, though? They didn't actually announce that, did they? I think it was leaked by somebody that they...
They did confirm. Correct. I don't think they were not proactive. I believe The Athletic had that story first.
Yeah.
And Fenway Sports Group was, they didn't hide in terms of like no commenting. They put out a statement which, you know, indicated that every now and then this happens. It was pretty indirect and didn't really say a great deal of concrete issues, but
was there any revelations from your visit to Liverpool? Did you meet anyone at the club, or were you just trying to get a general feeling of what the mood was and what the attitude was?
I did run into Billy Hogan outside.
Just bumped into him?
Yeah, it just happened to. And I've only spoken to him once before on Zoom during the height of the pandemic, while doing a Mike Gordon story. But the first time we met in person. As far as big revelations, I'll save it for the story. But I enjoyed the experience at Anfield tremendously. The atmosphere was just unbelievable and powerful. And kind of like a playoff atmosphere.
Yeah. Which matches did you go to? Was that the?
I was at the Chelsea match.
The Chelsea game, yeah.
Which, you know.
A lot of people complain and the atmosphere was terrible because it was half 12, you know, but you.
Look, I had nothing to compare it to. If that was a low moment, I can't wait to come back for number one, a warmer day.
Yeah.
I only wish I had worn a couple more layers on Saturday. Yeah. That was I'm not complaining. I found the whole pregame and during game atmosphere fantastic. I understand a 0-0, a 0-0 outcome is no one enjoys that. But
Did you interview any fans about their attitude to FSG and whether they thought being good owners?
I spoke to some fans. I did, yeah.
And what was the impression you got off the fans?
You know, I'll save it for my article. Okay, my bosses won't. You know, I think, like I alluded to earlier, I don't think fans on either side of the Atlantic are necessarily thrilled with the current day situation. I bet you there's some fans who trust in FSG, and there's many who can't wait for them to get out. I think it's all across the board, the spectrum, and so there's no scientific survey done by yours truly.
Okay, and there's no there's no trips to Qatar lined up or anything like that?
for me? For the Qatar sports group? No, and nothing at this moment.
Yeah, okay. Thanks very much, Michael. That's brilliant. I mean, and did you enjoy the sights in Liverpool?
Oh, very much. I mean, yes, I found Liverpool just, you know, I didn't have enough time to explore as much as I wanted. I did go down to the museum on the docks, walked around a lot. So impressed that you guys don't allow cars in the middle of the city there. It's all pedestrian zones. I love that.
Yeah.
That's very smart. And though I mentioned a lot of Liverpool people rolled their eyes when I said this, but I found the trains to be fantastic. People just laugh that they think it's ridiculous what I said, but if I say that should give you a clue what it's like in America. The train system is just, it's awful. So I guess the grass is always greener, but trust me, if any Britons want to come to America and want to travel around by train, I suggest you look into that or give me a call on the side and I'll steer you away.
Great. Thanks a lot, Michael. That's a great insight into, especially when you're saying you thought the atmosphere was fantastic and everyone's complaining on Twitter that it wasn't.
Really? So there were complaints afterwards?
Because
of the outcome or the what?
I think just because it's a half 12 kickoff and it was 0-0 and people thought there was too much groaning and complaining in the crowd.
Oh, from the players to the refs, you mean?
Yeah. No, from the crowd to the players and the ref, yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I could have used an interpreter next to me for some of the chants. I mean, I understood the song, of course, at the beginning, but it sounded like there were some brilliant chants that I could have used a guide.
But. Yeah, okay. Thanks a lot, Michael. That's brilliant. And if there are any developments, hopefully we'll be able to talk again in the future.
Sure. Happy to, Peter. Thanks a lot. I enjoyed it.
You've been listening to the Ballylarouge podcast on the Blood Red Channel.